Tom, are you ready? Tom, you ready?
Been here half hour, mate. You know that.
I'm not your mate. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of our weekly podcast. I'm David Flatman.
I'm Thomas Shanklin.
Okay, Tom.
Yeah, good, Dave. You all right?
I'm all right.
Two Watch Dave. That's what I'm going to call you now.
Two Watch Dave. I'm like Two Jags.
Yeah.
Was it John Prescott that had two Jags, was it?
You're like Joey Essex.
Does he wear two watches?
And he wears one on his ankle as well.
Is it?
Yeah.
I need to get a new level. Right, we've got a special guest. Let's introduce our special guest.
Well, we thought we'd bring a special guest because last week's pod was so appalling, Mersey.
we've done two crap pods, actually.
Primarily because Dave was very hungover in his pants with a quilt and just didn't want to be there. I was trying to give the energy, but
we went down to see Justin Harrison in the south of France, and we had a couple of wines over dinner, and the next morning had to do a podcast, and it wasn't great. So apologies,
listeners.
It's
organic wine, which apparently doesn't give you a hangover. But
anyway, our special guest is former Bath rugby player and hooker, someone with whom I played from the age of 17 all the way through to in our 30s. 42 caps for England, British and Irish Lion, Lee Mears.
Thank you very much, boys.
200 and how many games for Bath?
268, just a couple more than Barnsley, which will probably really rile him.
Perfect. The thing is, with Dave Barnes, I mean, he started loads of games, didn't he, before I got there. And then he had 180 appearances off the bench when I was there. So, and he's not here to defend himself. So, yeah, Barnsley played a lot, but you played more.
Yes, yeah. And I think Banners had the chance to overtake me, and then I think he disappeared to Gloucester.
He chased the Yankee dollar.
He chased it, exactly. So, welcome, Lee. Welcome.
Thank you.
Can you explain to us where we are?
Well, yes. We know where we are. So, why don't we explain to the listeners?
I'm part of the listener brigade, mate, because I listen to it.
I'm not your mate.
Us listeners.
Well, today I thought I'd bring you, so that Flats wasn't late, I'll bring you about 200 metres. Obviously, he's super famous now, isn't he? So I'm not allowed to disclose where he lives. But
come on. Shanks told everyone where I live anyway.
So basically, I thought, how can he be late?
Broadmoor.
If we're about 200 metres from his house. So we are up at Bath Racecourse. But more importantly, I thought I'd bring you to somewhere and we'd support a fellow rugby player. This is Alex Popham's new business venture,
Ooh.
Hub 15.
Yes, yep. Heard and, about it.
Yeah, and so do you want me to fill you in a bit of that? Or?
Please do, mate.
I'd love to fill him in. All right, yeah, go on, fill us in, pig.
So Hub 15 is part of, like I say, Alex Popham's new empire. He's trying to recreate the values of rugby and business. So by having a hub community with the themes of sport, where business guys can come together, they can hang out in a really cool place like Bath Racecourse. You can see the view, although poor listeners can't. The sun's shining,
beautiful,
and sort of share business ideas.
So businesses can book rooms here if they want to have meetings, seminars, anything they want, something different to potentially outside their office, or if they don't even have an office, they can come here.
Hot desk. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, hot desk in shared workspace, co-working space, where you've got great areas to operate from, but you can also book rooms and different areas.
Do you reckon Hub 15 could extend to like the Punch and Judy in Covent Garden? Because I reckon on that balcony, that'd be a brilliant place to work on.
Weirdly, Tommy, I had lunch opposite the Punch and Judy in Covent Garden. Yes, just yesterday.
Knew you would.
Just yesterday.
Fine dining, loves fine dining. But this is sort of turning sports clubs into business hubs, isn't it?
Yeah. Have you read that, boy?
I'm just reading it on a bit behind you. And for people that want to book this and want to see what Hub 15 is about, it's www.hubxv.com. XV obviously is Roman numerals for 15.
Well done. And basically, it is a cool big workspace at the Bath Racecourse, which is actually an easy place to get to. It's the highest racecourse in the UK in terms of altitude.
I've just been having a wander around. I've seen Drybuild have sponsored the finish line. I've just texted Lee Byrne to see if he's here because he's part of Drybuild.
Oh, he's Drybuild, isn't he?
He said he's not. He said, oh, you want a speed awareness course? So there's other fun stuff that happens here as well.
Yeah, so
that's 4 hours of your life you'll never, ever get back.
Oh, God. And the thing is about a speed awareness course, they could do it in an hour. They take four. They could do it in 1 hour if only they sped it up. It wasn't actually a joke, but they could literally do it in an hour.
The killer for me is the older gentleman that literally wants to tell his story about, yeah, I was driving at 32. And yeah, like, mate, this is slowing the course down.
We don't care, geezer. No. We don't care. No one cares. It's like when you go on social media, and I love social media, as you well know, and you guys like it too, I'm sure, but you go on and say something like, really peed off because my train's late, or I'm in traffic. No one cares, mate.
Or you say something
like...
No
one cares.
The Farrell tackle was legal. No one cares.
Yeah, Shanks. exactly. No,
I'm working down in Twickenham next week in a pub.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Not sure where it is, though. It's called the Farrell Arms.
I can't find them. Very good. Well done, mate.
I'm not.
But in terms of the whole, before we move on from the Bath Racecourse Hub 15 thing, a couple of fascinating observations. Firstly, about Alex Popham, former Welsh international who set this thing up. Good bloke. Two things I remember about Popham. One was that, we might have done it in the pod before.
We have.
One was that I heard years ago that he bought a couple of houses in Newport and was renting them out during the Ryder Cup and making an absolute fortune. He's fucking raking it in, but raking it in is what I heard. And then the Audi coupe, he told me at the under-21s World Cup at the airport, and he was like, what car you got there in flats? I was like, oh, I've got a diesel Mondeo from Sarri's at the time. Just got myself an Audi coupe. Lush it is. And then Gary Powell saying, no, you haven't, Popham. No, you haven't. That's your mother's, that is. Not, it's mine. He's like, lives in a, and Gary Powell's like, lives in a council house and drives his mother's Audi coupe.
he's on holiday at the moment, actually. That's why he can't be here. He's in South Africa, I think.
He looks like he's always on holiday, or he's got a sunbed in his house.
Hold on, no. He looks like Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's also true. That's also true.
With his hair at the moment.
And a couple of racecourse-based tales from the past is that I live very close to here, and I've walked my dogs here for a long time.
Essentially, this is your garden, yeah?
Yeah, I call it the garden. And my dogs, I mean, I would say, looking at where we are, there are at least 100 poos out there from my animals alone, looking out on the race course. So, sorry to all the horses. I do pick them up, of course I do. But once, this might be TMI, but it's a big old race course. If you're going to do the whole, if you're going to go around the whole perimeter of the whole property, it's at the furthest point, you're a long way from your car. And
it's a fat burning session.
It is, it's cardio. Yeah. But then consequently, you're a long way from your toilet.
Oh, no. You blame the dog, did you?
I've been caught short on the race course. I've done a wildie.
What do you use? Sock?
No, what I do is I...
Always carry three bits with you, do you? Three bits of toilet paper. One up, one down, and one to polish.
No, I just take all my clothes off and sit...
Ring the bell and go, Mum!
Mummy finished. And when I'm finished, I go to a patch of long grass and I sit down on it with my legs out in front of me. And I've got two dogs. I tie both leads around my ankles and then around the dogs. And I say, fetch them. And the dogs just run and pull me away. And it wipes my bum on the grass as they pull me along like a sled.
No wonder one of your dogs tried to leave you and move to Kent.
Yeah, I know. Still reckon he got nicked.
Yeah. Anyway, Mizzy, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well.
What are you up to? You're looking very dapper.
Oh, why, thank you. I've been at a real work this morning before I joined you.
What?
Boys.
You what? What's that? I know. Flats doesn't.
So I've been very busy, and then it's obviously Autumn Internationals time.
Yes. What is real work, though?
Tell us what your job is.
Yeah, so I'm an exec coach nowadays. I coach people, leaders of industry and sport, in their field, their own field, to be the best that they can be, really. Building teams. I coach them on themselves,
yeah.
And how they make a positive impact on themselves, their environment, and the companies that they work for.
So how does that manifest itself? Do you get a call from, I don't know, your boss or someone at your company, and they say, we have been instructed to do some exec coaching for Smith's tarmacking, and you go into Smith's and you meet Bob Smith and you chat with him or her for an hour, and Bob could be a woman, and you chat with them for an hour and then you say, this is what I think, or do you have an observation period or a model that you work to, or how does it work?
Yeah, so generally work will either come from the company itself that I work for, the Preston Associates, so they will, we will be on a preferred suppliers list for certain companies, or the wonderful thing about rugby and the family network is you get you get to meet the leaders of industry, and then generally you will have a brief from HR, so they will be looking to get better. They're seeking promotion, they're at the top of their game. And you know they want someone to talk it through issues with, but you'll get that brief. You'll then meet them. So sometimes they'll get given a panel of three or four people to meet coaches, and they'll decide, because it's all about chemistry. Who do you want to chat to? Who do you want to think that you can work with? Who's going to prod and poke you in the best way? And then you get selected, and then from there it's probably we work on a six session journey to begin with, where you work for 6 3-hour sessions and you start to delve into their world and see see where they are, really.
So it's mostly for the individual, it's not for the team. It's mostly how can, so the exec, we call him, be more efficient. Manage their life and work balance and everything like that?
Yeah, I mean, we work individual and we work teams as well. So, for instance, I was looking at one the other day who has he's just been promoted to a foreign country. And then it's about how do you land, how do you make the impact as quick as possible, what do you want to be known for, and how do you interact with your team. So sometimes it's just, we keep everything inside in our head, and sometimes it's just to have someone to talk to and also to hold you to account.
But I watched All or Nothing on Amazon Prime, okay, and I did the Man City documentary on there, which is fantastic, and Pep, the Man City manager, he had someone very similar to that by his side, and now it was one of his best friends, but he helped him manage his life and his work. And this guy's background was he was a gold medal winner in water polo, and had a massive successful career. But that was his sort of confidant. That was his guy that sort of helped him through all the dark times, all the bad times, and just, I don't know, really, just helped him really manage a team and not lose control and not lose his mind. And I suppose, is that something similar that potentially you would do?
Yes, that's something, it's definitely an area. And I think, I was lucky enough to be coached, which is how I found exec coaching out of rugby. And it is something I wish that I'd have had whilst I was playing. Because you see all the stuff now around mental health coming out, and coaching can help in that regard, but it can also, the other side of it that businesses are finding is that when we played rugby, if you wanted to get faster, you saw a coach.
Yeah.
If you wanted to get stronger, you had a coach. You wanted to, eat the right nutrition, and you had a coach. So coaching is becoming, very, very powerful. It happens in sport to a certain degree. We obviously neglected the mind coaching side of stuff. And business is very hot on it as well now.
But it was a lot to do with stress as well, just keeping Pep, trying to keep him stress-free, because obviously a very stressful job the higher up you go. But it's brilliant though, he was the last person that gave him a hug at the end before they went out for games and stuff.
Oh, really?
It was really good.
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet, but I remember... That's great. By the way, listeners at home, I don't call Lee Mears Lee or Mears, I call him Piglet. Because he used to snuffle for truffles when he played, because he was, close to the ground. Yeah. So Pig, I remember having a conversation with you a few years ago now. We were going to do a lunch together or something, and we were speaking. I think it was about, it was started off as work-life balance, but actually it ended up talking about what is your version of success? What does success and happiness mean to you? And I remember that being a really interesting conversation. So can you give us a little bit on that? Because happiness or success, whatever it was, they're similar things, aren't they? Can mean very different things to different people, can't they?
Yeah, and again, this is what I love about the coaching, is that you're sat with the individual, and we use a technique called holding up the mirror. So you ask someone, what does success mean for them in 5 years, 10 years? Some really deep questions around... what do you want your family or kids to sort of say about you? And once you start to get into that side of things, people don't always look that far. We get bombarded, don't we? We get day-to-day life, you know, is hitting us, and then we chase shiny things, and sometimes we sort of lose sight of where we're actually trying to get to. And as athletes, it was fine, wasn't it? It was about winning on the weekend. It was about playing for your country.
Yeah.
And when you come out of that, especially as sports guys, but also in the business world, is there's so... You sort of, you hear it in the business world, getting to silos, and in sport, you sort of, you find yourself a bit lost. So it's one of the conversations I really like to have about, you know, what is it we really, you know, what's the mark we want to leave on the world? A bit deep, Dave, but yeah.
What do you reckon your kids would say about you, Flats, that you like to cook a lot of meat?
Yeah, I actually know what my kids say about me.
Yeah, no, which I wouldn't repeat it either.
Which is, Daddy eats too much meat. And Daddy never comes. That's a funny one. This one isn't that funny, which one of them said the other day. Daddy, you never come to special things with us, special occasions with us. And actually, that would hit me hard if it was true. But actually, it's balls. So I said, no, that's not true, actually, because I missed fireworks. Monday night fireworks is what I missed. I was like, this school play, that, give me the last five special things. Give me hockey. Give me cross country. Give me all this stuff. I've been at all of those things. I'm missing one thing, and suddenly I never go to anything. Yes. And like this Friday night, Shanks and I are going to, we got a very early start in Twickenham on an 8:30 start or something in Twickenham. So we're travelling up the night before and staying in a hotel in Twickenham. And I am going to go to a concert, watch my girls sing at the Abbey in Bath, and leave Bath about 9 o'clock when they're in bed on Friday night. So another tick in the box. Admittedly, I'm gone for 4 days after that, but...
Your life sort of reminds me a little bit of Robin Williams in Hook, the film Hook, you know, where he doesn't do anything with his kids. He misses Jack's baseball, and then they go to Neverland, and he realises that he's Peter Pan because Rufio starts on him, basically. And then he comes back and he's a better dad. So go to Neverland.
I mean, after this podcast, I'm going home. I'm walking my dogs, and then I'm going to the shop to buy my kids' favourite meal, which is chicken fajitas, and we're going to make fajitas after school.
I was joking, mate. You don't have to justify yourself.
And up yours, yeah?
Yeah. But
one morning, I take them to school, and everyone's like, I love the school run. No, the school run is hell. It's a nightmare. I'll do it in the morning. So you rely in, I'll do the school run. Christ, it's painful, but...
Don't bring him into it.
But I will, you know, smile and...
How's your week been? Have you forgotten what you've done this week?
What have I done? Yeah, so it's good actually. I mean, because it's international weekend, it's interesting. I always say it's interesting, and Shanks is like, no, it's not. We'll decide.
Or it's funny. It's funny.
Well, it's funny because what is interesting, whether you like it or not, is and it might not be, is that if you are a...
What did you do in the week, mate?
Senior international. Shut up, Shanks. You're senior international.
Hey,
you get no. I'll tell you what I did.
Like a politician, he answers the question he wants.
I could just list. Oh, all right, I'll just list off what I did. I'll just list it. I'll read my calendar for you.
What have you been up to, boy? It's interesting you should say that because
went to France with you. See Justin Harrison. People know about that. It's Halloween, so I went trick or treating.
Yeah.
Okay.
What character did you guys? Fester. Please tell me you're Uncle Fester.
Oh, no, I went as just me and the kids dressed up. But we got loads, looted a load of like posh houses in Bath. We got loads. No money. No one gave us any money. What's the point?
No one gives money to Halloween.
I know, I was joking. Trick or treating was really good fun. Enjoyed that.
I saw the kids dressed up. Looked lovely.
Yeah, lovely, cool. Lovely stuff. And then on, you know, I went to the gym Friday. Did not a lot Friday. Had the girls Thursday, Friday. So we just chilled. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I just had the girls because it's half term.
Yeah.
And my wife goes to work, so we had really chilled few days. We got the bus into town. We did some fancy dress stuff for Halloween. We went to their favourite place for lunch. We made their favourite little meals at home, made some biscuits, which we ruined.
Is that a vegetarian restaurant in protest to your...
Something like that, yeah. But then we, you know, did gymnastics routines in the basement, which I'm not great at, but I can lend quite a lot in terms of
the crab.
Lifting.
Can you do the crab?
I can't do anything, but I can lift them, and they like the lifts.
Yeah.
So I do all the lifts. So we did loads of that. They did my nails for me, clipped my nails for me.
Friday, Saturday?
I like having absolute children clip my nails because they're ruined now. They're in awful shape. So I'm just telling you what I did. Yeah. And at Saturday, I hosted, with Ugo Monier, I hosted the Quilter Suite at Twickenham, so they sponsor the Autumn Internationals, and it is actually a really good crack, really, really good fun. And we ripped into a couple of the guests for asking ridiculous questions, wearing ridiculous clothes. We had George Cruz and Ben Youngs come up after the game for a chat, and they're just those two
you don't know who you're going to get until about 5 minutes before they arrive. And then the lady comes over, Viv, who runs the whole thing at Twickenham, and she's like, you know, Viv Brown, she's been the team manager, she's legend. She comes over and she's like, you've got Cruiser and Youngsy, and you're like, awesome, because they are top blokes who can laugh at themselves, who can have fun. Ben Youngs is like the ultimate in a situation like that, because he's so honest, he's so nice. And yeah, it was really, really good fun. And we ripped into a few people and had some nice food and a couple of glasses of wine, watched the rugger. It was...
How's Ugo looking like uber dapper? Is there a better dressed bloke?
No. The thing is with Ugo, he can wear... He doesn't wear crazy gear. He wears really good gear that he's really thought about, and he looked amazing. He looked properly amazing. Like,
and you sort of put that gear on us and it would look nothing like that, would
I'm wearing black jeans and a black t-shirt now. And black, and he was wearing basic what I'm wearing now, and he looked amazing, and I looked like midlife crisis, like Paul Hollywood in his motorbike leathers. Embarrassing. But it was really, really good fun. And then I was meant to go to Roz and Jim's wedding reception. So two friends of mine, I was meant to go, and I even
mentioned them last week randomly bumped into and
stayed in touch, and they're lovely people. Luckily, they're coming to our live pod this Saturday morning in Twickenham. But I basically had to file some copy, which means write articles and stuff, and you had to get it done by a certain time after the game. And I'm sitting in my car at Twickenham, and I'm writing this article, and I was like, I'll quickly bang this out. And it's like, no, we need you to write on this because he's already writing on this. So you've got to do this, this, and this. So I'm there until 10 o'clock, half nine, 10 o'clock at Twickenham in the car park writing an article in my car.
Yeah.
Glamour. Then I was like, I can't go to a Reading reception now because I've got to drive home to Bath. I'm back at the stoop on the Sunday morning. I'm like, why am I driving home to Bath? But it was so that I could see my kids in the morning because I'm away a bit. So I literally drive home, get home at stupid o'clock, middle of the night, straight to bed, up again at 7 with the kids, and then at 10 o'clock I'm back in the car driving to the stoop to do the Prem Cup.
Wow.
So it's kind of like that was silly. I should have stayed up on Saturday night, but I missed the wedding reception and I had to say my apologies.
Told everyone you were coming as well. I
don't suppose
speech.
They made any difference, but they're lovely people and I wanted to go, but I've literally got a bottle of champagne in my car for them that I didn't manage to get to them.
Paul Roger.
Yeah. So
lovely drop.
Yeah.
Talking of Sunday, something you missed as well, which is very, very rare, is Ollie Barkley was outshone in the body stakes because we were at strength and depth at Bath University.
Oh, yeah.
And all of the CrossFit athletes were competing in a team event. So it's not often that all
come second best.
No, in the body terms. Oh, my goodness.
Lads. Yeah.
Were you doing CrossFit?
No, I do love a bit of CrossFit, but this is a competition that... That one of the guys who runs the CrossFit gym in Bath.
It gets a hard time, doesn't it? Because you know people think, you know, other people just do CrossFit because they've got no mates, but it's not true. It's not true.
It's a team event, Shanks.
It's good. You know, you're doing circuits essentially, aren't you?
I think it's probably the best all round for exercise. You can do a bit of strength, bit of conditioning,
as long as you know how to lift properly. Yeah, you've got that's the only thing. But like, you don't always have to do Olympic lifts. You know, you can substitute them for something a lot more technically simpler.
And if you walk into a gym, not just a CrossFit, but any gym, and the trainers say to you, you're doing, like they say to me, you're doing a power clean or a clean and jerk. Well, I can't do that stuff because
you can do prowler or you can do like sandbag.
Yeah, but there are things I can't do because my shoulders and elbows are ruined and stuff. And they're just like, yeah, cool, do this. Or if you want to do that, just jump onto a box and down again. It's like, if there's any pressure to do things you don't want to do, you're in the wrong gym.
So
anyway.
Barkley came off second best.
Oh, definitely, yeah. There were some good rigs parading around.
CrossFit bodies are jokes, mate. Oh, they're jokes. And some of the women are units. Absolutely. Some of the men are as well, but I'm just not used to seeing women that such units.
It is a type of body, though, isn't it? You can tell by, you know, if everyone was naked... You could tell, you know, they were more so CrossFit than they would be, say, in a, I don't know, a health club gym.
Yeah.
You know, it's a certain look, isn't it? Massive abs. They're all in proportion,
basically.
Bulbous
abs kind of thing. Big quads. And I got to say, I likes it.
Right, tell your story now that you're going to say, because I feel
what
bad.
Story now?
I just ripped into you about what was your week. You're going to say it's something interesting.
Oh, no, it's just, what I find interesting is that I now get to Six Nations, World Cups, Tournament Internationals, and it's a busy time for me. And when you look back, I was not... Okay, I played for England a couple of times, but I was not a serious international player. I was a club player who got a couple of caps. And it's quite an interesting one.
Eight.
So
Yeah, so it's like it
bloody four couples that is.
Oh yeah, but it's you know it's quite I don't know, I automatically assume these are going to be busy times, and then you think, well actually keep a lid on that, because then, you know, someone like a Joe Marler quits playing for England, and actually 5 years from now he could be the person that's doing what I'm doing. So it's quite interesting. It's like, yeah, it's really
no
busy
way,
it's
mate.
Autumn, and it's like, mate, I've only got eight caps, so how,
no way. Yeah,
why
but
am
you,
I,
you know? But you, I suppose what you're different, you do a lot of hosting.
Okay? Yeah.
So it's not always,
I'm not a special guest.
Not always asking your opinion, but you're keeping it all together.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, Friday, Saturdays are basically taken over, you know, come Autumn Internationals. It's not always in the week. Is it?
It's what?
It's not all, you're not always busy in the week, but
no,
come
no,
weekends.
No, like
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, and we just Sarah Moon, who here at Hub 15, she's a friend of mine and Piglets, and she, so Sarah, you just met Tommy, yep, and guys you don't know her at home, but she's
oh,
a friend.
Oh, she said you were a rascal.
Yeah, a rascal. We've known each other a long time. She's great, and she just said as we arrived, you know, I wonder, do you ever see your kids? You ever at home? Because I see you on social media. And it's like, yeah, but that's Instasham.
Yeah.
Like, I'm at home loads. Like next
that's
week, I think I've got four straight days at home, and you know, I've got best part of the week after that off. December's half dead. January's dead.
Yeah,
it's lovely. It's just there are times that
it's peak times, isn't it? Like you got, it, is, yeah, it is busy now,
and it's work. Yeah. So it's like, do you want? I enjoy my work, but do you want to pay your mortgage or not? Like, yes, I will, please.
Yeah,
I'd like to pay that, please. We got one of those letters through the other day, Pig, where it's like, if the interest rates stay where they are, your mortgage rate will stay where it is. If they go up by 1%, this is what your mortgage will cost every month. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. And my kids are like, you never come to anything special with us. I was like, yeah, I'm not coming to anything for the next 5 years. Like, I'll see you in 5 years. I've got to go to work, mate. Like,
Shanko, what have you done this week? Well.
What have you been up to this week, Mizzy? hang on, Tommy.
I covered. No, someone asked me that. I don't know who it was. I covered, I can't remember the game now, Ospreys Glasgow on Friday night. With Big Jim Hamilton,
yep,
who was very hungry before the game and went into a chip shop and had one of everything, basically.
I worry about his body, though, do you?
He had a battered sausage,
he had a what?
Fish. Yeah, he had chips, and that wasn't enough, so he had a pie, and he stunk of, like, grease. So covered the game with that. Glasgow, really good, way too good for the Ospreys, played with a load of pace. No matter who they got in at 10, they were just... You know, whether they've got Horn, whether they've got Hastings, they had a guy called Thompson in. Phenomenal. Great team. Well coached. Dave Rennie, big bloke as well. Didn't realise how big he was.
Is he?
So actually, you're up against him in a nightclub. No, post-match. And then on Saturday, we had probably about 130 people in the locker room in the Marriott Hotel. Big Jim again. He said, what's the dress code? I said, black tie.
Standard.
Guess who comes in a black blazer?
Did he?
Yeah, black jeans.
Have some of that.
Black school shoes.
That's when he doesn't know, does he? He's not sure, so he's hedging his bets.
He had the tie with him just in case.
Went to a black tie thing in Ugo with Ugo Monya the other week.
Yeah.
He turned up black jeans, black suede Chelsea boots, black like dinner jacket, and a black t-shirt underneath, like a low plunging neck t-shirt. He looked amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And a big gold watch. Like, cheers, boy. I said, yeah. I didn't know if it was a strict black tie or not. I said, whatever, mate. You look...
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to say you look gorgeous.
And then called him up on the stage. He had 63 caps and one try, which is...
For Scotland, for
Jim. It's a good ratio, that, isn't it? It's one try every 63 games.
Better mind.
Well done. And then...
a lot of Scotland caps for a bloke from Swindon.
Yeah. And he told a lovely story about rabbit killing in a Scotland camp, which was pretty good. 23.86 win ratio for Scotland.
Yeah.
Which is good if you're Scottish.
Yeah, it's better than most.
See, he was really good value. But I listened to one of my mates listened to his pod just to find out what they talk about. And he was saying that he was with Shanklin. You know, it's like saying I was with Flatman.
Yeah.
You know. You know, it's like someone in the media calling you. You know,
yeah.
Shanks. Why are you saying Shanklin?
Yeah, Hamilton.
Yeah,
you weirdo.
Hamilton, James Lee Hamilton,
James Hangington.
Yeah, but it was great fun. Loads went on. Everyone got drunk, and it was a good win, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a bit.
Yeah, I'm sure. Mirzy, when you get 42 England caps, do you ever think to yourself, if only I'd played for Scotland, that would equal 420 caps, and you'd be the most capped player in world history?
Very, yeah, I do. But then I also think about if you play that many games and you have to make that many tackles, your body's going to be ruined.
That's so true. Didn't look at it like that.
That's so true.
Making double amount of tackles.
Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day, and like Joe Marler's, because on Saturday, Pig, we're doing, Shanks and I are doing this live pod in Twickenham. We're doing it with Justin Marshall and Joe Marler at this pub on Saturday morning. Really cool. And something I'm going to ask Joe Marler about is, I respect his decision to retire, but shouldn't he have waited until December? Because that's an extra 100 Gs going into Christmas. That's an extra 100 Gs for four games. And he'd have been in all of them because he's so good. And Mako's injured, so he would have been in them anyway. And Mako and Genji are injured, but he would have started all the games. It's like, 100 Gs, can't bro. Wait.
I want to hear that answer. Nah, yeah. Not for me.
Yeah, I'd love it if he says no, but I bet he says yes. Did you see him wearing his T-shirt, shorts and boots? And
Japanese riding boots.
Yeah. On BT. Brilliant.
I thought he was absolutely brilliant on that.
I loved it. Yeah. Excellent.
But he's so honest, isn't he? I think nowadays, again, and we go back to all this stuff, but people don't necessarily realise the amount of pressures that are on the players and being away for that amount of time. So, and I love Joe because he is super honest.
He would be a media liaison officer's nightmare, wouldn't he? Because, you know, especially after games, sometimes you've got to be PC and you've got to say what you'd sort of told to say, but he will just come out with pure emotion. He won't care, will he?
Yeah, they played it like...
He'd say what he thinks.
Yeah, it was like, it wasn't a final. It was like a big game, one of the Twickenham big games, London doubleheader or something. And we're doing the Channel 5 highlight show. I'm doing it with Durders. And our producer, Sam, goes over and says to the media guy, can we have Joe Marler? Because he's captain of Quinns at this point. Can we have Marler and Brad Barrett, captain of Sarries or whatever?
Yeah.
And to the Sarries guy. And it's like, yeah, it's like, tell you what, just grab Brad on the way past. And the guy's like, yeah, just grab Joe on the way past. It's fine. Because they're super chilled, these media guys. Good guys. And it was like, Brad, can you have a quick chat? He goes, yeah, sure, guys, no worries. And you're like, Joe, he's like, yeah. And I'm going to go, can you have a chat? And he's like, no. It's like, just a quick chat. Nope. And just walks in. And the media guy's like, I mean, I can ask him. It's like, he's not going
to
say yes.
What'd you say to that, though?
No. And it's also like, it's not like you can say, look, you little shit, get out here. Because it'll knock your teeth out. So it's kind of, I love that. And this producer was like, I can't believe you said no. I was like, I love the fact that he said no. I know it's would have made our show better, but I love the fact how individual he is.
A little bit of very interesting information for you listeners. We have the ITV Six Nations pod coming to you in February and March.
Yeah. We're doing it again, aren't we?
We're doing it again. Backed by unpopular demand.
Yeah, through literally no popular demand whatsoever. Just I think they're really busy and they're just the same again.
We're going to blast it though, mate. We are going to blast it.
Wait, mate.
We want you to get onto that when time comes around. We'll keep you informed. But also, tickets for the England-Australia in association with Guinness live podcast will be on sale on Wednesday.
Which is tomorrow.
Which is the 7th. So we want you to get online. We'll tweet the link. We have got Justin Harrison coming in.
Yeah,
and that will be fantastic. Main part of the show. What people tune in for. Download for. Rugby. Start off with Ireland, Italy. Out in Soldiers Field.
Yeah, but let's just talk about the try. Because Jordan Lama, what a joke. What an absolute joke.
Hat-trick.
What Richard Porter said, the prop, he said he makes fast people look not fast.
It's not so much for that try, the third try I think it was, it's not so much the step inside that does it for me. It's the last step round the outside with a metre and a half.
No room.
No room whatsoever. Just that stop and go, the lateral step, and he's just got a huge amount of pace. I mean, to be fair, Italy were in it in the first half. It was only 14-7, and Campagnaro, he throws a horrible intercept. Which is strange because I do really rate him. He's a great signing for Wasp, but what a poor pass. And Lama gets
he's
on the end of that.
He's a top player, man.
He is a top player.
He's
but 14-7 at half time, that's not a bad result for Italy, considering first kickoff of the game, Stockdale runs the ball back up to the Italian 40 metre line.
What a carry that was.
But Tadg Byrne, right? If there was a Lions tour, he'd be on there, wouldn't he?
Oh,
he is phenomenal.
He is phenomenal. And on the Tigs, we will go back to this game in a sec, but how is Tadg Furlong not on the list for World Player of the Year?
Mm.
There's still never been a prop nominated for World Player of the Year.
So how is Beauden Barrett's a wonderful player? He's by nowhere near had his best year. Why is Beauden Barrett on that list and Tadhg Furlong isn't?
Yeah.
I don't get it. It's weird. Because he's a fly-off who plays for New
Zealand.
Because
a lot of people just view tries and breaks and clean breaks and moments of brilliance whilst they not necessarily would view an amazing scrum as a moment of brilliance. When it is, and it should be.
But what a player.
Conway on the wing. Mm. Scored a try, but rewarded for really good form for Munster at the moment.
Yeah, I love watching him play.
Yeah. But ended up 54-7. But how amazing would it be, lads, you know, if you got told you're playing international rugby and you're going over to Chicago to play?
Yeah.
How exciting would you be?
Done it. So,
have you?
Yeah. It was all right.
Saxons?
Probably. Been there, done that. Lost the T-shirt.
Record attendance as well, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah.
Good Google.
4 million. 4 million people went to the ground. That's
brilliant, though.
That's
you know,
for you.
Like, I loved what Joe Marler said on the BT Rugby Club. Is it called BT Rugby?
Rugby Tonight.
Rugby Tonight. Just that, you know, there's a lot of Irish in America. There's a lot of Italians in America. Why not?
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point.
Wales, Scotland, 21-10. Don't know if you boys saw that. I mean, it was a bit, the whole game was a little bit underwhelming.
It was rubbish.
When you've got Gareth Anscombe, who's really attack-minded at 10, and you've got Adam Hastings, similarly, in Scotland, I think we all thought it was going to be a real open game. But then I think Wales really treated it like a proper test match. And, you know, we were a little bit uncertain about if, you know, the Welsh team were going to kick to corners or they were going to take the points. As it happens, they took the points. And, you know, at one stage, they were 9-0 up through three penalties from Lee Halfpenny. So you can sort of see how the game would unfold. But, you know, North scored a really good try. It really worked well. Just, you know, coming from behind the 10, they put a block play on behind the 12. Sucks in Hugh Jones. And you have to get your body right up close to tackle someone like George North. You can't be reaching for him.
No,
Hugh Jones gets sucked in, then goes out to reach for North. And because he's hitting the ball at pace, because he's got leg drive, he just goes bursting over and scores a lovely try. He probably should have scored one before where it gets in the corner. Just doesn't lift his legs up.
Yeah.
You know, sort of slides a bit.
That.
Yeah. You know, like we've seen Thokkonen Singer.
That's what I was about to say. Thokkonen Singer would have finished that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I
like seeing George North scoring tries for Wales again, though.
Yeah, and Jonathan Davis' try was really well worked off a line out. Gareth Anscombe takes it quite flat after getting a ball behind Hadley Parks, and sort of Dunbar gets sucked in. He sort of realizes that Hugh Jones gets sucked in then, and John Davis, put my teeth in.
If you're picking a world 15, and I want you to think about this.
Yeah,
would you have John Fox Davis at 13?
It'd be hard to pick someone else above him.
Wouldn't it?
It would. You think of all the other great 13s out there. Australia are searching for someone to play in that position. Folau, they've tried a few times, and he's a great player, but I wouldn't say he's probably a natural 13. I'd say he's more of a natural back three player.
Mm.
No one really in New Zealand that is regular and regularly playing. Crotty plays a bit.
Yeah. They don't have a new Conrad Smith.
Fekitoa, no. South Africa, I mean, Delande and Creel. But, you know, has he had the seasons like John Davis has and done it at the level he has? So, if it's not Davis, it's Shanklin. But but Scotland, I mean, 21-10 probably doesn't reflect the whole game. Scotland had a couple of chances. Peter Horn drops a ball over the line. They get a penalty advantage and it's kicked over the top.
I thought Scotland looked poor. I was disappointed.
I mean, they had all the possession.
Men against boys, it looked like.
But they had all, the physical battle they lost. They had 60% possession. They had 64% territory. You know, Wales made load more tackles, but Scotland didn't really do anything with it. No. It didn't really challenge the line. And
what I expect to see is creativity and a bit of flamboyance from them, and I didn't really see
especially when you've got Adam Hastings, who's been on fire
in
there, and he grew into the game. You've got Hugh Jones, who's renowned at 13. You've got Dunbar. They've missed someone like Hogg at 15, I believe. Who's back now next week. But
your best mate.
Yeah.
But the big game of the weekend, let's just be honest.
Yes. Okay. So this was a huge
England against Springboks. I mean,
Northern v Southern Hemisphere, that's why it's big.
Yeah. I just
Springboks on great form as well.
Mm.
Without their English based players.
Yeah. So a couple, we could talk about this ad nauseum. A couple of observations from my point of view.
Brilliant. I saw you had a big screen and a touch screen in the Quilter Lounge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not very good at working it. I leave that mainly to Oogs. So a couple of observations would be England got beaten up. They lost the physical battle convincingly. The South African ball carriers were just making, at points, were just making yards at will. D'Alande, Jesse Creel had a good game, but Damien D'Alande in the midfield was an absolute beast.
He monster.
Absolutely wrecked the England midfield. I thought Henry Slade actually had a good game. Ben Teo got better and better, but he was completely overwhelmed on the day by D'Alande. So how England managed to win it, you could say I'm not quite sure, but I think they got lucky. And lucky's fine. That's not, I love the fact that they won them English, but they got lucky because South Africa was so dominant. Pollard, at least the first half, at least his kicking game was beautiful. So they're in a great position, repeated in great positions. And Malcolm Marks, who's on the short list of five players for World Player of the Year, overthrew three lineouts really, really badly, to the point where, yes, he's throwing really poorly. He's overthrown it by miles. But who keeps bloody calling it there? Call it somewhere else, because yeah. The bloke's obviously, his confidence on the day is shot in terms of his throwing. He did nothing else throughout the game. How he wasn't subbed off, I don't know, because even though he's great, he had a bad day. I think England got lucky with that. And then the thing at the end, the Farrell thing, I don't know how. All I say is...
We'll come to that in a bit. Save that. We'll come to that in a bit.
I just like the fact that one of them was so overthrown, I think Farrell picked it up.
Yeah.
Over the top.
But that's not a reflection of how good Malcolm Marks is, though, is it? You know, he had an off day.
No, everyone has an off day. Oh. Nowadays, it's easy here, isn't it? Sat looking over the race course.
I'd never do that.
I never overthrew anything. but I always used to think, I was amazing that you didn't miss more throws, Mirzy, because I always thought you were so close to the ground that you couldn't actually see over me at the front of the line-out. So you had to lob and hope.
It was definitely close your eyes.
And yeah, Steve Thompson could see to the back of the line-out, but he's a foot taller than you. So
what were your thoughts on England?
With that being the punditry, the game of two halves, but in the first half, I was in the stands and I was thinking, oh no, this is not the way it needs to go. But then I think once you saw a side under pressure as well, because once we got ahead, they were forcing stuff, and that plays into our our hands. And I thought that we'd hold on then, but definitely in that first half, how we weren't sort of
fair play though. Like on the 15 minutes, right? There's a crossfield kick by South Africa, and they catch it, and then it was incredible defence for like the next 2 minutes.
What a take in the air!
Yeah,
amazing defence, yeah. But what a take.
Nkosi, yeah. I think it was, but. You know, they eventually snuff that out, and it's like little instances like that.
Yeah,
I know it's early on, but change games.
Yeah, and that's not luck. That's grit, organisation, and grit. That is.
Yeah, that is. They've sort of that, bodies yeah. on the line.
Yeah,
your job's on it. Mm. They defended that well, and
it's really impressive to see the boys fighting for each other. That tackle that Marrow, that where they caught that kick. I know he got Simbin for not rolling away, but to stop a guy that close to the line,
that's serious. Yeah,
phenomenal,
huge. But the good thing, I suppose, if you're England and you support England, is the amount of clean breaks they made. They made 13 clean breaks compared to South Africa's 4. So it's shown you that it wasn't. Yeah. Didn't reflect the score of 12 points, you know, no tries. They made a lot of breaks. There's probably more breaks than they made in 3 or 4 games put together. Mm. And they look good. It's just a couple of opportunities they didn't take. I think Daly went through at one stage and potentially could have passed to Johnny May, but he steps inside. Brad Shields goes down the left again after a really well-worked sort of phase play. And I don't know what he's trying to do with that ball. You know, well, he just ends up throwing it over his head.
He went for the miracle offload, didn't he?
He did. By
the
way, he doesn't need to do that, though.
No, he doesn't. If Mike Brown had got through in the 13 channel and not thrown that pass to Johnny May, he would have been battered in the press.
Yeah.
Elliot Daly not battered in the press. I don't want Elliot Daly to be battered, but...
I know what you mean.
I watched that game and thought, I love the fact that England are picking Elliot Daly anywhere because he's wonderful. Didn't have his best game, but...
Apart from the 50-metre kick there.
That was great. Yeah, but he didn't have his best game. No. But, you know, when South Africa worked that try down the right, when you think about it's Whiteley that gathers the ball and gives the last pass, isn't it? So he's the big eight.
Yes.
Gets it. It's not just quick hands. He gets it, gathers it a bit and gives it. So he's got half a second. I am going to hazard a guess and say that if Mike Brown was on the field, he would not have had time to gather that ball and make that pass because Mike Brown is a superior defender.
Okay.
Under the high ball, I would say Mike Brown is superior. If Mike Brown makes that break down the left and doesn't give that ball, he gets beasted all over social media and in every paper. So I just think...
But that's because they're different types of players. Like everyone knows that Elliot Daly is more creative and probably has better vision than Mike Brown, although he didn't choose to use it.
Absolutely. On the weekend, a more threatening attacking player. But my argument is that lots of people are very glad to see Mike Brown not in that team, I think. But I would say he has got a place in that squad.
If an up and under goes up and Elliot Daly drops it and it's fairly simple, then Elliot Daly will get crucified, whilst Mike Brown probably wouldn't as much because people know
credit in the bank
how good he normally is.
Yeah.
What I will say for that try as well, if you watch it, Johnny May's begging players and shouting for players to come round to the far side. If you just watch Henry Slade, who I think had a real classy game, he looked really silky, didn't
really
ball
good
in hand.
Yeah.
He just stops behind that ruck for some reason, right behind that ruck. Now, Johnny May's corner, I think Itoje goes round.
Yeah.
Slade is moving, but he just ends up stopping right behind the ruck. And I feel that there's time for him to move round to get in the defensive line, which means everyone can shift along. And I don't know, I'm not sure why.
Caught in two minds, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Potentially worried about pick and go, but he ends up in a sort of scrum half position right behind that ruck when you don't really need anyone there because you're on the line anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, so Nkosi scores, doesn't he, in the corner. He looks good. But I suppose a massive talking point is a few high shots. So there's one on George Cruz.
Yep.
Isn't there?
Yep.
Two South Africans end up sort of T-boning him.
Yeah.
That's very high. Johnny May gets one of the South Africans around the neck.
Jesse Creel, wasn't it?
Jesse Creel, I think so, at one stage. I mean, that's not picked up, but it doesn't look too obvious at the time.
There are always going to be high tackles not picked up at the moment, I think.
1,000,000% agree, mate. Yeah. And it's what, you know, it's easier to slow a video down and see his arms around his neck, but it wasn't that obvious. But we've seen them given.
Yep.
In slow-mo. But then the main one is Esther Hazen coming around with a 40-metre run-up.
By the way, have you seen...
And decides to pick on Farrell.
Have you seen Rassie Erasmus doing the coaching? Have you seen this thing on video yet? So for the cameras, Rassie Erasmus he's done this fake thing with a tackle bag and he's got Esther Hazen. He's coaching him to tackle higher and higher and higher. And in the end, he just shoulder charges the top of this tackle bag and he's like, perfect, you got it. He's teaching him Farrell technique.
Yeah, I think that's incredibly petty.
Like, it's just a bit of fun, Tommy.
I think he was quite petty after
you
as well.
Humorless beast.
He was quite sarcastic, and one of the press said, "Are you being sarcastic?" He goes, "No, no, no." Obviously, was. You know, he just reacted to it and tried to stay calm. But you know,
I'm sorry.
There's another meaning to it.
If you are the Springbok coach and you see that hit, and you're 1 point behind in a game you've dominated, it would take. Barack Obama not to portray your feelings.
He's basically saying it's high without saying it's high. So
yeah, you know, I don't think it was high.
Just or illegal.
Illegal. Yeah.
Okay, so what's your thoughts on it? Go. I mean, this will be like a court. We'll have the prosecution. We'll have the defense. And if Mirzi, you know, don't sit on the fence. You've got to say what you think.
What I would say is my view is that it was a shoulder charge, and I know his left hand comes around a bit and almost grips the ball, but he's knocked him away so fast, so he's hit him so hard that he doesn't have time to grab him anyway. But that right arm with which he hits is making no effort to grab. And when he makes the impact, after the impact, there is his left hand goes towards the ball. But as he makes the impact, that is a pure shoulder charge. And I think for me, not high, but a shoulder charge. And two things I think. One is controversial, which is fine. The other one isn't. I think that collision happens 20 minutes in to the game, so an hour earlier. I'd be willing to bet my little finger on my right hand, my least used finger, I'd be willing to bet a finger that would be at least a penalty 20 minutes into the game. Therefore, it should be in the 80th minute. Because it should not be contextual.
Games aren't for a fact, games are ref differently in the 80th minute than they are in the 20th.
But they are. Happens all the time.
All the time. You know, but you think of all the pick and goes, you think of all the people that are holding on the ball. I mean, the ref can relax in 20 minutes. You know, he can't relax when the game's so close at the 80th minute. He has to be certain. So
Yeah, but it's doesn't it may be natural doesn't mean it's accept and excusable because this was
that will always happen though. You'll
this
never
was the biggest that. Game in rugby at that weekend. It's the biggest game in the world, and you shouldn't be refereeing the 80th minute different from the 8th. That's what I think. The other thing is, if you not all refs do. I would say someone like a Wayne Barnes wouldn't. Very, very calm seemingly at all times. Anyway, the other thing is that, and this is reasonably controversial, but that's fine. It could be absolute balls. But you have a Tongan making that hit, or a Samoan or a Fijian making that hit. That is called a shoulder charge. I would be confident that is a shoulder charge. That is a South Sea Island no arms tackle. You have Chrissy Halafia making that hit.
But that's
a
bit more stereotypical view because they use that tackle and they have done for years and years and years. That's
I'm just saying. So is Owen Farrell actually.
Yeah.
But I loved watching Owen Farrell at the weekend. I loved it. And the last 10 minutes, I think Stuart Barnes said in his column, or one of them, or Stephen Jones, the last 10 minutes of that game belonged to Owen Farrell. The penalty kick was brilliant, the ball strip, and that killer hit. I mean, the hit is illegal. It's meant to be a tackle. But that collision didn't win England the game. But, I mean, geez, that settled it. Mm. And that is a major collision from a fly half. So I love the bravery of it. And I, you know, being completely open about it.
It was brave.
Because it wasn't high, didn't hit him on the jaw. I love the hit, frankly. I love watching that. But I think it should have been a penalty and it would have been, you know, and that's under the circumstances I've listed.
Mersey? He called you Morsey then.
Well,
Moira.
The Moors murderer.
Ian.
I definitely agree with Flats in terms of if it was at a different point of the game, it would have been a different decision. But I'm a rugby purist and I want to see. Reason they brought that in is for safety. Last minute of the game, you've got a 40-metre run-up. Typical South African, run at Owen Farrell rather than... Did you see the space either side of him? So in some ways, as a kid, you were always told, don't get the referee to make a win or lose decision. Take control yourself. I'd have been avoiding contact at that stage of the game.
I mean, you got 42 caps, Pete.
Do you know what, though? That type of tackle, I reckon, was the right tackle, because if you go low and SA isn't coming around there, you're gonna end yourself, I think.
With those legs and those hips.
And I mean, we'll put this to bed in a minute now, but for me there was, and I know it's different, a split opinion, and this is where it's hugely grey with everyone. There was enough arm grabber in that tackle for it to be legal. It wasn't high, so you can't say that. No. I think the biggest issue is that everyone's worried about was the actual size of the collision looks worse, because when Esterhazen takes that ball into contact, his lead leg is up, so he's off balance. So that's why I think, had there not been that huge hit and that huge collision, and Esterhazen, if he had a stronger base when he's entering contact, he would have dominated that contact and we wouldn't be having this huge argument. My other worry is that you're not always going to tackle with your arm in 90 degrees. So you hit with your shoulder first, your arms come second. There's not always going to be an instance where he hit straight on. He didn't hit sideways, which you see a lot in rugby league of the shoulder charge. You see, who are the brothers in Sydney?
Burgess.
Burgess's brothers. A lot of them hit like that. They close their arm down by the side and they shoulder charge on the side.
Serious hits, yeah.
Now, you're allowed to tackle with your arm down by your side. It doesn't have to be up. You have to grab. You know, if he tackled around the waist in that same technique, you know, that's still a penalty then, if that's what you're saying. He's got to tackle
like a chop tackle.
If that's what you tackle. But I'm not talking about a chop tackle. I'm talking about sort of midriff there.
But if you go no arms at the knees, that's illegal.
But you can't. But one, you know, you can use one arm to grab. I think it happens in such a split second. You know, it's not like he's hit and then decided to grab. This is all under a second.
Yeah.
I can see everyone's point. Honestly, I can. You know, it's everyone's got a valid point, and it's.
I got a text from a mate.
I got a text as well.
I got a text from a better mate.
I got loads.
Well, Bill Clinton texted me. Yeah. So, and Barack Obama. I got a text from a mate saying, George Smith hits Jackson Ray, gets let off. Will Spencer hits Tommy Taylor, gets 4 weeks. Jerome Kano hits Jamie Roberts, gets 5 weeks. Owen Farrell hits Esterhazen, gets let off. Can you explain that the complete the difference? Can you expect? And actually, I'm not offering a solution here. I'm saying there is a real problem here.
Well, you know, there's. I spoke to a ref, and he said that he thought the Jerome Kano hit was legal.
Yep.
Yet he gets incredible amount. Was it 5 weeks?
5 weeks.
So, whatever the deciding commission are agreeing doesn't always necessarily reflect the views of the refs who are reffing the game.
So Will Spencer's got a month ban. Owen's got nothing. George Smith's got nothing. So I haven't asked if I can use his name, so I won't. But I spoke to a very prominent referee, one of the world's best referees, and it was absolute. His opinion was absolutely no question that is a penalty at any other time of the game. It should have been a penalty against Farrell. I mean, we'll leave this behind, and I'm English, so I'm glad they won. I mean, who cares? But for the greater good, and I brought this question up about the Kano thing, and he's like, Kano, that's not even a penalty.
Mm.
And George Smith, that is they got that wrong. That should be a ban. That's a high shot. And I was like, so he's like, well, you're the best at doing these things.
They're not on the same page, are they?
No. And it's not his fault. It's not our fault. It's not the player's fault, actually. But there is a nipple height tackle trial beginning this weekend, isn't there? And who's playing in it? Is it in the championship? Is it
Richmond?
Richmond. But they've got basically a line across the jersey, nipple height, and that is the height, max height of the tackle. So, but the thing is, what I would ask is, if George Cruz is playing against you, Pig, and you've got a line across your nipples, apart from being immediately and absolutely aroused, how is George Cruz meant to repeatedly get down from 6'7" and tackle you if you're ducking into contact? It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to come out of retirement for that one.
This is perfect for you.
Like Wayne Rooney?
Yeah, got his own game. Mind you, Nugget had his own game for his 100th cap. That's a joke. What a joke.
Against the Barbars.
Yeah, a joke.
So Peter Jackson was going on about, Peter Jackson, a writer, saying that this game shouldn't be a test against Scotland. I'm like, well, you put on the jersey. Of course it should be a test. You're playing Scotland. You're playing good opposition. Yeah. I nearly bought out. Well, what about Nugget when they created a game for him against the Barbars?
Yeah, exactly.
a test game.
Exactly. But yeah, Rooney's got his own game, hasn't he? He's got a tribute game. So, I mean, I love that, though. I think go for it. The bloke's a legend.
Play in America. He plays in America. They're playing over in America.
He's an absolute
legend. It's a friendly
legend
as well.
Yeah.
So
They should do it for Bex. Do it for Bexy, retrospectively. Do another one.
Let's talk about games this weekend. Mirzy, I want to hear your thoughts.
Got to make this quick now, because Piglet's got to
go. Yeah, I want to hear your thoughts on Italy-Georgia. Joking. England-New Zealand this weekend. Will there be many changes? Are England going to do it?
I think I don't think there'll be many changes. I think Eddie will be pretty happy with the win. I didn't think I'd ever see him jump up and down on a sideline for a win. So I think there was a lot of relief in that game. Mm. And then he'll have given those guys the opportunity, and then he'll give them the reward to go out and show themselves against the All Blacks, unless he's got a little card up his sleeve, as we know he can do. But I think he'll be sitting the side.
Manu
can stay fit. I would have liked to see Manu on the field, actually. But against the All Blacks, oh my goodness, that the All Blacks B team against Japan was pretty impressive, wasn't it? And as were Japan.
Yeah, they did, actually.
Do you reckon Tulane would come in for Tio, who was fairly quiet? No.
You can't pick Tio out of nowhere and then drop him after one hard game. Leave him in for the whole series. Because, I personally would leave it the same. I would change.
Actually, did I get that wrong? Did Tuilagi not even make the bench?
He would have come off the bench. If he's fit this week, I'd have him on the bench, of course. Okay. But I'd leave it as it is at 9, 10, 12, 13. But I would consider... thing is...
Would you have him on the bench, though? Because Chris Ashton was sniffing the ball out.
That's the thing, Pig. That's what I'm about to
fantastic.
Say.
His... Honestly, his positive running lines.
Do you know what? That's what I'm about to say. I just said I'd obviously have Manu on the bench. I think I probably wouldn't, because Elliot Daly can fill in the midfield and be great. And actually, Ashton and Noel, a couple of things, right? You got me started now. But I love Jack Noel and Johnny May, you can't leave out. Because I think they're different players, but they're great. Chris Ashton off the bench was fab. His running lines were great. Work rate was great. Daly, I think you pick again, because if he gets it right, he's sensational. And he almost always does get it right. It wasn't a brilliant game last weekend.
And he's got that massive bazooka kick as well.
Yeah,
which
is really helpful.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like all those combinations. And the other day in the quilter suite with Ugo, Nolly just walked in towards the end. She wasn't there for an appearance. She was just walking past and walked in to say hello to me and Oogs.
So we got her on stage for an impromptu Q&A, and she made a really good point. We're like, right, what happens at fullback? What do you do? If do you have to have so-and-so on the bench? And what if Daly gets injured? Who goes to full, whatever? She said, I would try Jack Noel at fullback. He's really good under the high ball. He's brilliant defensively. He's got comfortably enough speed to be an international fullback. He's an international winger. He's loads of... and.
What about kicking though, mate?
Yeah, wondered about the kicking, don't know. But I like the idea of at least Jack Noel covering fullback.
I think he could. Definitely, you know, you'd rather... put my teeth back in. You'd rather have him covering fullback than you would Johnny May. He's more of a natural rugby player, I'd say.
And yes.
Probably a little bit better positionally.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe.
Maybe, but I thought it was really interesting. So yeah. I thought, yeah, okay, that's an interesting one. But up front... there was just a little bit of Eddie knows best about the selection, and I thought, well, in the front row, because you've got Moon and Hepburn, and I thought, well, Chiefs are a high performing pack.
Hepburn's not big, is he?
No, he's not a big guy. No,
no,
he's very good. Not very big. So Hepburn is always on the bench for Moon, and Moon starts, not always, but at the moment, because Hepburn is better in the loose and he's a more dynamic impact against tired teams. But Eddie knew better and swapped them round. And actually, it was an error because the South Africans have a heavyweight pack. Mal Herb is a very heavy guy at tight head. And it's easy to say. But anyway, long story short, I would start Moon this weekend and have Hepburn on the bench. And I would also start Williams and have Sinclair on the bench. Because I think that Hepburn and Sinclair have a bigger impact off the bench than Moon and Williams. That's not because I think one's better than the other. I do think Harry Williams deserves to start. I actually think he's turning into a top prop. Just quietly, really, really good. But that's how I would do it. And in the back row, I would, if Curry is fit, I would pick Curry at 7. Again, if his ankle's better, I would pick Wilson at 6 and I would pick Mercer at 8. And I would leave out Brad Shields. That's what I would do.
We'll post that team on social media later, shall we?
Yeah, so you slags me off.
I think Zach. Against the Kiwis, you know, with his footwork, and you saw the impact that he made when he came on. I think that's a good call for us.
Kieran Reid's on the market. He's not going to re-sign with the All New Zealand RFU after the World Cup.
I reckon he'll struggle for a club.
He is going to be able to buy New Zealand by 2022. Oh,
I know. Right, Mizzy, we will let you get off.
Thank you very much for having me.
3 o'clock.
It's been lovely to see you.
Yeah, we'll crack on a little bit with this.
We've got more to do, have we?
Well, we've just got to cover Wales v Australia.
God. All right, Pig, you go, mate. You save yourself, yeah?
Thank you, gents.
Just hold on to that damn chopper. That's a line from Predator. Cheers, Piglet. Well done, mate. Give Shanks that mic. There you go. See you, Pig. Oh, yeah, I'll actually do it now. Hang on, guys. Mears is just leaving, but as he leaves, I'm just going to video him doing a... I'll put it on social media. I'm going to video him doing a handstand. Go on there, Piglet.
Do you want to sign on?
Yeah, do what you want, our kid. In his smart gear, ex-England hooker. Look at that. Do another one then, go on then. Come on, you pygmy.
Oh,
look at that.
Oh, nice.
Well done, pig.
Handstand press up. Well done.
Looking fit, mate. Looking fit.
After the weekend.
Yeah. You look fit, yeah.
That's CrossFit for you, isn't it?
That's CrossFat for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gymnastics.
Doing gymnastics now, you piglet.
Got your bag rewards, have you?
Yeah.
Swim badge. Yeah.
So, Wales, Australia.
Wales, Australia.
I don't know if you watched much of the Wales game.
Watched all of it.
Some of it?
All of it.
Done. Now, this is huge.
What's huge?
Mearsy, this game. You know, Scotland was a warm-up, I think, to this game. Now, everyone's back. You've got the French, I don't know if there's any French, English-based players eligible to play. Do you go with Dan Biggar? Do you go with Gareth Anscombe? Liam Williams is back fit. Where does he fit in?
Anywhere he wants, mate.
Well, I like him at 15, and the Lions liked him at 15, and we saw one of the greatest tries ever. Lions... I think, I can't remember if they beat or drew. I think it was the second test. They beat New Zealand, and that was all started off from Liam Williams. But Lee Halfpenny defensively does incredible.
Yeah.
Like, positionally, there's nothing better.
Yeah.
But do you go with a player that, I suppose, is 60% defense, 40% attack or the other way around?
I think if you're a fan, you go Liam Williams. If you're a selector and head coach, you go Lee Halfpenny.
Mm.
That's what I think, boy.
Yeah.
That's what I think. But I want Liam Williams in that team. You can't not have him in the team.
Yeah.
So who does he replace on a wing then?
Morgan. Replaces Morgan on the wing.
Hasn't he?
Quite a quiet game for him. George North was... I mean, no one really stood out in that game. Like, Hadley Parks probably didn't have the best game. He was quite quiet. I wouldn't say it was the worst. I wouldn't say he was bad, but he was quite quiet, quiet really. Yeah. John Davis was pretty active in there. I'd start with Gareth Anscombe.
Anscombe, Hadley Parks.
Over Dan Bigger, because we know what Dan Bigger can bring. We know what a great competitor
John Davis,
is.
George North, Liam Williams, Lee Halfpenny. That's our team, isn't it?
Potentially could be, yeah. I think that's it. I think that's the back line. Gareth Davis, I don't think Reece Webb's being released. There was talk of him.
Yeah.
You know, potentially going on loan to a club during Six Nations and World Cup period, but I'm not sure he will. I think Corey Hill will start with Alan Wynne-Jones. I think the back row will be pretty similar. Ken Owens will start. So,
the Sheriff?
Yeah. I mean, but just Australia.
Are they going to beat them, Tom?
Well, Australia, okay, they won two games in the Rugby Championship, and that doesn't reflect where they are as a team, as a nation, because of the level of competitiveness in that Rugby Championship. You know, you're playing New Zealand.
It's brutal, isn't it?
Yeah. South Africa, both on form at the moment. Argentina, on form at the moment. You know, Falau, where does he play? Curtly Beale.
Yeah.
You know, Will Genia. There's just quality. Or Pocock, Hooper.
Yeah.
It's everywhere in that team. They're a team that really attack. They play in the wide channels.
Sikopi Kepu, amazing.
You can't just defend against them the whole time and rely on Halfpenny to kick his goals. Otherwise, they'll just take you to the cleaners.
You've got to go and score tries.
We've got to. And I mean, that was quite pleasing against Scotland, was that we did go out and we looked like we wanted to run through the line. We were taking it flat and we worked some well-worked tries. But I think it's going to be a real tough ask on the weekend. Mm. There's no doubt they can do it, but they're going to have to play to that 90, 95% level through the full 80. Otherwise, Australia will run away with it. Ireland, Argentina. I think Johnny Sexton could be back. Joey Carberry. I mean, what a great position for Joey Carberry to learn his trade now off Johnny Sexton, because obviously Sexton's coming to the end of his career. You know, he's not a spring chicken, but what knowledge he's going to pass on to Carberry is just invaluable. It's going to be brilliant.
What a role model
he is. I know.
Fantastic bloke.
And then we've got France, South Africa. Not quite sure how to call that one.
No, but again, fascinating to watch because you know what's coming from the Springboks.
Well, Faf de Klerk will be back. Villiers Le Roux.
Yeah.
Should
Francois
be back.
Lowe.
Yeah.
So you know what's coming from the Springboks. Power and intensity.
Huge amount of power.
Huge, loads of power. There was loads, more than I thought actually at the weekend. But we don't know what the French are going to do, and that just makes them fascinating to watch.
Do you know what worried me slightly against, if you're English, against England, is that England defend really tight. So South Africa were playing moves, I think it possibly was off a scrum, and it was just a miss two, right? So it was just 10 to 12. I think it was Delande threw a miss pass, hit the 15, and it was too easy to get on the outside of England. Now, they didn't score from it. They're not a team, you know, you're not going to get cut by a team like that. But if you watch it, all the England defence is just, their backs are turned, they're running diagonally to the corner flag. And it's just too easy yards to give them.
Mm.
A miss two is simple. You know, there's not one really running a decoy line. It's just a short pass, a wide pass into that channel. But they get on England's outside way too easy. It's just the way England defend. And, you know, if you review that game, it's just like you would take that every single time. That's a gain. That's a 30, 40 meter gain, easy. Mm. So, you know, the way you cut that off is either your line speed's quicker and you're putting more pressure on that 12, so he can't get a pass away, and you've got a winger then in the 12 site. If a winger's in the 12 site, he's not going to throw the pass because it will be intercepted. Or you just defend wider. Mm. But, yeah, food for thought.
Food for thought. I'm excited to watch that.
That's a long podcast, but it's always a little bit longer when we've got a guest on.
Yeah, it's nice that. Good to see little Piglet.
Yeah.
Looks in good nick, doesn't he?
He does. You know, he looks after himself.
He does. Great
which
nick.
I sort of wish I had that discipline.
I resent it. I'll be honest with you, I resent that.
I mean, I've got at the moment, I've got in my head that I really want to be healthy and eat healthy. But then last night, you know, about 8 o'clock, I was watching Informer. Have you seen it on BBC?
Seen it all. Watched, finished it.
Brilliant.
Very good.
Loved it.
Yeah.
I ended up having like 10 cheese and crackers. I know.
You fat pig.
I know.
You're a fat pig.
I know. But diet starts Monday, right?
Yeah, exactly, boy. Exactly. Right. Thanks everyone for listening. See you next week then. Ta-ta.